Or I even had a client last time who she was like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm a rebel. And I see now what that means is I literally need someone to tell me, no, you can't. And that is how I will do something. So she like asked us to say, I don't think you can about stuff. And that is what gets her going. I know that one hurt. That one hurt a lot. Because I do think you can.
I know. I would have been like, I don't think you can. But I secretly think you can. Welcome to Medium Lady Talks. I'm your host, Erin Vandeven. I'm a millennial and mother trying to build the place in the world that's made for me, while fighting burnout, living intentionally, and embracing gratitude, even when I'm grumpy. Here on Medium Lady Talks, we visit the topics and practical tips that will help you maximize self-discovery and minimize self-judgment so you can finally get momentum building the life you know is possible in this post-pandemic world. On this podcast, you can expect we'll get deep while having fun, and whether you're burnt out like a dog in a dumpster fire or celebrating your best life daily, you'll find the conversations, prompts, and tools I know will be helpful on your own personal healing journey. So stay tuned for my deep dive solo shows and interview episodes with dear friends and expert guests. Together, we'll make sure you have what you need to build the place in the world that's made for you. I'm so glad you're here. So let's jump in. Hello, hi, and welcome to Medium Lady Talks. This is a special episode with guest Tracy Stanger. We are going to talk all about personality quizzes. And the main audience of Medium Lady is burnt out moms and millennials. And we know that millennials love a quiz.
We love a quiz.
We have been raised in the era of the magazine quiz, then the subsequent online quizzes. There were a lot of email chain quizzes back in the day. There was a lot of mail away quizzes. We're going to talk today about, like, is there more to this? Is there more to the personality quiz? And can a personality quiz really make your life easier? But before we get into that, I'm going to introduce my guest, Tracy Stanger. Hi, Tracy.
Hello.
Tracy, welcome back to the show. You were an original guest on, I think it's episode 21. Okay. But my memory has gotten a little bit hazy because that was back in the archives. A while ago. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be back.
Since it's been just a little while since you were on the show, why don't you tell the audience who you are and what you're all about before we dive into answering this question?
Sure. So I call myself an anti-hustle business coach for moms. I got into this game as a young mom myself, not young, but a mom to a young child. Finding that struggle between my 9-to-5 and all of what I wanted to do with my baby and with my life. And what I did at my 9-to-5 was streamline processes, make things easier, better, faster, more fun to get done. So I was like, why don't I go do that for other moms who I know are in the same between a rock and a hard place and make things easier? So I came into this as like time management, but the way I have done time management for people is by relying on you. First looking at like what are the results you're trying to get, and then literally like who are you? What's the easiest way for you to get that done? Mm-hmm. And I actually rely a ton on personality typologies and like looking at your strengths and weaknesses to figure this all out.
So Tracy, your typical client isn't going to necessarily have to buy into your framework. What's going to happen is you're going to build a framework around them based on some personality typologies, based on some tried and true practices and some things and ways that we can assess our own inherent drive to essentially come up with a business strategy that is custom built for each individual person that you partner with.
Yeah. What we're looking at really is your offers, your marketing and sales strategies, and how you work each day. So like that is the basics of business that every single person in business is going to need. But then we're looking at not just your drive, your communication style, like your actual time availability, your motivation style, and your strengths that show us like the real, like your best offers or the best way for you to market So you don't have to like totally buy in, but you have to be a little open, because I am going to say like, well, because your Clifton strength is this and that, this is why I think this. But seriously, once we start talking about that and I start telling you like what I see mirroring back yourself, you're like, oh, that is me. Oh, is that not everybody? And then you'll come along. You'll come along.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was everybody. No. Yeah.
And this just happened. This happens to me too. I just had my own human design read the other day and I was like, oh, is that part not everybody? I really thought it was.
So with that in mind, we're going to focus in on this question. Can a personality quiz really make your life easier? And I think for a lot of listeners, you're going to fall into one of three buckets. And this is kind of thematically becoming a way that we're focusing on season four, is answering a question. And you can put yourself in one of three categories. The first person's probably going to say, no, it's just a quiz. Can a personality quiz really make your life easier? And your gut response is, nah, girl, pass. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Life is way more complicated than a quiz could ever offer me. The second answer to that question, can a personality quiz really make your life easier, is someone who says, maybe. It probably depends on the quiz. And the third person who answers that question, can a personality quiz really make my life easier, is the person who says, yes, all self-awareness is good self-awareness, and I'm here for a quiz. So hopefully you fall in that last category, but I have a feeling that...
I'm a little towards the middle, actually.
Are you? Okay, good. That's good. That's good.
We'll talk about it.
That's good. So we're going to talk about all of those three perspectives, Tracy and I, and we're probably going to hopefully have something to offer you no matter what your answer was to that question. So with that said, Tracy, let's dive in. Can a personality quiz really make my life easier? And we're going to talk to the person who says, no, it's just a quiz. You know, a lot of people come to the table, they've got skepticism surrounding a personality quiz. And there's a lot of people who think that this kind of thing is sort of superficial or irrelevant to your day-to-day. It might be a fun pastime. It might be fun mm-hmm. to like sit by the campfire and say, oh, Tracy, you're this. Oh, Aaron, you're that. You know, it makes me think of like mm-hmm. the babysitters. Which babysitter are you in the babysitters club? You know?
Yes.
Right? Like, yes. Am I a Marianne? Are you a Claudia? That's really fun, but it's pretty irrelevant. It's pretty harmless. Yep. Very, very benign.
I'm with you. Yes. If you're like, no, it's just a quiz, I am.
That's right. What's driving that person, do you think?
Well, I think it could definitely just be that experience. Like, if you're going to tell me I'm a Hufflepuff or whatever BuzzFeed listicle like is just saying, those aren't useful. They are fun and they're cute to talk about. Like, are you a Miranda or a Samantha? That doesn't actually have bearing on your day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And they're too, I think maybe especially because they're characters. They might not even be like a real potential how someone is.
Right.
So you might not relate. Like, just because I'm this way, like Carrie, doesn't mean that I am everything else that she is.
Well, yeah.
Why am I using this reference even? But also like the experience, what you have seen of personality quizzes. And I think it's interesting because you're talking about quizzes and I talk about typologies. And I think those are two different things, actually. But
that's a good light bulb moment for people who are listening, is like, tell us, what is the difference between a quiz and a typology?
So when I think of a quiz, I'm thinking of the 17, YM magazine, Cosmo, whatever. We are millennials. We know what I'm talking about. All of those, like, it's for fun. What's your personality? And even a horoscope, like a newspaper horoscope, that isn't really telling you as much. There are people that study actual astrology, and I think that shows more. But like a newspaper horoscope or a BuzzFeed is going to tell you stuff that like really could apply to anyone. Mm-hmm. And you get to just, you're kind of by the prompt, you're agreeing with it.
Yes.
So that's that. But the typologies that I use, such as like DISC profile, Clifton strengths, your Enneagram, your human design, Gretchen Rubin's four tendencies, Malcolm Gladwell's little quiz that he did, these are more studied, practiced, and I think more, I want to say analytical. I don't think that's quite the right word, but like, especially Clifton strengths, there's like 36 options and you can be any combination of all of those, that's going to really pinpoint pretty well. And there's going to be some stuff in there that you can actually use and take with you in your decision-making processes.
What I'm hearing is about dimensionality. if you're a Carrie or a Samantha, there's no lane to play outside of that. And those seem sort of fixed. When we talk about typologies, what I'm hearing is a little bit more dynamic approaches, a little bit more of an understanding that the situation is going to play into how you show up and what you bring to the table. The way that you think about the questions that you're answering within the assessment or within the quiz are more about considering your approach or your needs as the context shifts and changes. It gives more breathing room for your ability to show up with all the facets of who you are, not just as a Carrie or as a Samantha or as a Gryffindor or as a Hufflepuff. It's way more maybe growth mindset or way more – it's less fixed.
Yes, and I think this is a good point to say they can change. Like a personality typology, I often see with my clients even, like within a couple of years, oh, they used to think they were a rebel. Now they think they're a questioner. Mm. And it's like you can change maybe through growth, maybe through just life experience, changing how you reacted to certain things that made you sound like this before and now you sound this way. Mm-hmm. And it's good to like – it doesn't matter if you change because then you just use the tools that go for the thing that you are now.
So if we're asking that question, can a personality quiz really make my life easier? And our audience is saying, no, it's just a quiz. Let's talk a little bit about the misconceptions about personality quizzes, like accuracy, their utility in our personal and professional life. You've said something really interesting here in our show notes about the be all and end all.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was just getting to, that if you're like not into personality typologies, then you might be feeling like, well, if I say I'm an Enneagram 4, then like I always have to be an Enneagram 4. If part of being an Enneagram 7 really like sounds good to you, that means that you can't relate to Enneagram 1 or any of the other parts.
Yeah.
And so, of course, that would turn you off, especially if you are an Enneagram 4 because they want to feel special.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, so I actually really love when an Enneagram 4 tells me, no, I couldn't possibly be a thing that someone's named. Like, that's so 4 of you to say.
I like what you said here, too, that sometimes we see there being right and wrong personality types. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a holdover from some of these fun but frivolous teenage quizzes that we might have done in the past. Sure. Where, you know, I don't want to be a Miranda. I want to be a Charlotte, mm-hmm, you know,
a Slytherin.
Heaven. Yeah. Oh, that's even worse. Heaven forbid. Yeah. Right. So, you know, how do we approach that when we think about typology?
Well, it's just that there really is no right and wrong. So a lot of times people have bad feelings about being a D on the DISC profile. I use the DISC profile for your communication style. And basically a D is someone who's like, get it done, keep it short. I don't really care about your feelings about it or whether you're having fun. I don't care about like the details. Like I just want it done. And that can feel like, oh God, am I too harsh? Am I too abrupt? But I don't think so. Like we need, if we study the whole DISC, the D, the I, the S, and the C, like they all are complementary. Mm-hmm. And we need that D to snap the C's out of analysis paralysis. Just as we need an I to work with a D to give the, well, here's what the people are feeling that, but like the I can handle that and the D will get shit done, where the I might just like get a little too excited about the future and forget to do stuff. I'm an I, so I can say that. But the point being that there, whatever your personality type is, you focus on the strengths of it. You find complementary partners in whatever this could be in your team, in your home partnership or whatever, and just use the knowledge of what your type is to use the tools that work best for that type to actually get things done better.
And to consider yourself not as an isolated individual, but as a part of a whole where other people are not like you, might need what you're bringing to the table. Probably do.
Yes. Yes. Totally.
If we were to be face to face with this person who's like, no, personality quizzes aren't useful, what would be your sort of like final pitch to that person to encourage them to consider alternate methods for self-discovery and personal growth? How would you get the no person maybe closer to a maybe?
So what I have done with people that I've talked to about this is kind of like do a diagnosis. And the DISC and Gretchen Rubin's four tendencies are kind of the easiest to, like, I can diagnose that in like one question sometimes, usually. And then to say like, okay, so does that mean such and such? And like, as soon as I say it, they'll kind of see examples of, oh yeah, that is right. And then when I share, for example, a lot of people are obligers on the Gretchen Rubin's four tendencies.
Hello, it's me. Hi.
Hi. It's actually like 70% of people. And I think especially women, and it's, you're going to understand why when I say it, it's because an obliger is really good at meeting expectations when they are set by or in the service of someone else. But it's really hard to set expectations when it's just for you. And so of course that also goes to just like female socialization yep. and modern motherhood, et cetera. But when you see that fits you, that, oh, I am an obliger, and then I give you some tools, like, so have you ever noticed that if you wanted to like do a daily walk or whatever, that if you have a friend to go with you, that's so much easier? Or my mom, I love giving this example. Like, she was like, I want to start flossing my teeth more. Like, I can't bring myself to do it. And when we framed it as something for my daughter, like, if you floss your teeth, you will be healthier. You will be here longer so you can play with your granddaughter. Now she's been flossing for like years. Easy. Piece of cake. So I think that's how I bring you along. Like, let's talk about it. Go find a personality typology, not a quiz, to see, or just come see me on Instagram and I will talk it out with you in the DMs. But like, let's do a diagnosis and see how the tools like feel good. And then you might be on board.
Before we move on to the maybe person, the person who says, maybe this could be helpful. You used a word that kind of jumped out at me, which is the word diagnose. And I wonder if for some people, they don't want to know. They don't want to know what their personality is, because there's a lot of friction and discomfort that can sometimes come from really staring at yourself. And some of these typologies are very astute, not just to the point where you get to be a Carrie or a Samantha. And I'm sorry, we're just going to keep going back there because it's just become crystallized. But you're going to actually have to think about who you are on a deeper level. And for a lot of people, that's really uncomfortable.
But again, I just want to point you back to the idea that like there's no wrong one.
Yeah.
If you find out that you're a rebel on Gretchen Rubin's four tendencies, for example, which means if someone else tells you to do it, if you want to do it, it's not happening. Like, it's so hard to get yourself to do anything. That can feel kind of defeating, I think. But again, once we apply the solution to that, it feels so much better. And you're like, oh, thank God I realized like that is why it's been so hard. And now I have this tool to make it easier. And just if you're like, oh my gosh, that was me, here's the tools. Rebels need it to be fun. So you have to find the fun in whatever the expectation is or build some in. People either need a reward, like a fun reward, or a scary consequence, like a challenge or a consequence. And it's usually you're one or the other.
Okay.
So obviously, like, my daughter is a rebel, which we learned at swim lessons last year. We were there for like every day for 2 weeks. Her whole job to pass that class was to put her face in the water and blow bubbles. And she would not do it. And so I was like, okay, we're going to apply the four tendencies here. We told her, like, if she was an upholder, okay, it's the rule. You have to do it. She didn't give a shit. We told her as if she was an obliger. I said, you know, you have to do it because then your friends will be so happy that you can go swimming with them and you'll catch up with them. And she didn't care. Questioners need to know why. So I was like, you know, for safety, because it's, you know, to pass the class, if you want to go, all kinds of reasons, or how it's not scary, like just explaining everything. She didn't care. The day I said, if you put your face in the water, we will go get Cold Stone ice cream after, she did it. It was piece of cake. So that child needs rewards, but you might also just need like a challenge, like an actual consequence. Or I even had a client last time who she was like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm a rebel. And I see now what that means is I literally need someone to tell me, no, you can't. And that is how I will do something. So she like asked us to say, I don't think you can about stuff. And that is what gets her going. I know that one hurt. That one hurt a lot. Because I do think you can.
I know. I would have been like, I don't think you can. But I secretly think you can. Because I'm an Enneagram 3. And a huge part of my profile as an Enneagram 3 is leading others so they can develop themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm tremendously ambitious, but only to the point where I'm helping other people achieve their goals and dreams. Like, I will push myself.
And doesn't that kind of go with your obliger also? Do you also see these overlaps?
It's true. Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of these days, I'm going to make a table that's like, if you're this, you might be this, 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 this.
That's a good lead magnet.
Yeah.
I was also going to say, but it would like, I don't know if I could actually say the words to somebody. I don't think you can.
I know.
That would just be really hard for me.
And so good for you knowing that. And so we would not ask you to do that.
Except it wouldn't help my rebel friend who's like, I really need this from you. Maybe I could if they said, I really need you. I need you to do it for me.
Well, and you know what I did? I let my other friend do it. The other person in the cohort. I'm here to give you the challenge. And then this person will tell you, no, you can't, because they can't. They have the skill to do that.
Oh my gosh. That's great. That's great. And also good for other parents who might be listening to say, I've offered my kid the cold stone and they roll their eyes at me. They're not interested.
Yeah, that's not going to motivate them.
Yeah. So we're all different. And these kids are all, you know, kids in general, you know, we're not going to go too far down the parenting thing. But isn't it just a great little like petri dish for these ideas and concepts for us to kind of like grasp more.
You can use it with your partner too, or with your team, or with your teammates. Like that's how I learned this was with my team at my 9-to-5. I learned DISC and I was like, oh, I am learning more about all of these things. But yeah, my husband's a rebel too. And that helps me understand how to ask him for things, how to chill my own self, knowing that like he's going to do it when he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And so I don't need to stress my little self out, my Enneagram 1 organized person self, waiting for something to happen. Like it will happen when it does. And it's all just much better knowing these things.
Amazing. Amazing. I think it's also very growth mindset, but that's probably for another conversation. So let's talk about the maybe person. So we've been asking the question, can a personality quiz really make my life or my business easier? And we've got a person listening, I'm sure, Tracy, and you said you're this person too. Maybe. It depends on the quiz.
Yeah.
So let's talk. We have talked a little bit, but let's go deeper on the diversity of personality quizzes and typologies available and how their quality or effectiveness can vary. Like, I think we can start with the most shallow, and then there's some evaluations and assessments that take months to really get your type. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah. So obviously at the very top would be like to take with a grain of salt is those BuzzFeed magazine quizzes. But I also wanted to talk about quizzes that are made up in the online business space. So if you do have business owner listeners.
I have one. Yeah.
And I have taken some from other friends too.
Yeah.
And I have also taken some that are just out there. And so my antenna for you to put up is what was the purpose of this? Like, is it diving in deep to give you an understanding? But what I see a lot out there, not yours, Erin, is the pointing at, like, they're making these types around the pain points that they want to help you solve. And so if you're out there taking quizzes and they're making you feel bad about yourself or like this is a thing that I now have to pay this person to fix about myself, that's the kind that we can throw out. The ones that are to just help you know yourself better and like use that as a tool, I'm a fan.
And I think another way of thinking about this is like they might want two things from you. One of which is your money or mm-hmm. they want you to buy something to solve a pain point that you're going to discover through the quiz.
For sure. And I mean, we're in business, and a quiz is a fun way to like self-assess whether you belong in that space.
But the other thing that a quiz does is it holds your attention. And Tracy, you and I, in our previous episode, which we'll link in the show notes, we talked a lot about what you're paying attention to as a mm-hmm. woman and as a mother, and how much of a resource your focus and attention is. When you mm-hmm. click on a BuzzFeed quiz, or even when you engage in a quiz created by a business owner, what you're actually trading off on is some of your time and attention to make your way through the quiz. And that's super, super valuable. So if we're talking about those quizzes, maybe being like the tip of the iceberg, mm-hmm. how do we get a little bit deeper?
So where do I want to go next? The next level maybe would be like the ones written by authors. So like mm-hmm. I referenced Gretchen Rubin's Four Tendencies, and I use that for motivation. So we talked about upholder, questioner, obliger, or rebel. And we use that to figure out like, how do you get yourself or others to do what you need done? Then I also use Malcolm Gladwell's quiz from his book, The Tipping Point, mm-hmm. because he talks about we're either mavens, salespeople, or connectors. And I find that really useful for people struggling with marketing or putting themselves out there to talk about their stuff. And this applies outside of business also. Like, you know your friend who is like totally the influencer, right? Like
yeah.
whatever they do, they connect you to the people, to the ideas, to the clothes, yeah. whatever that you want. So I look at those and I love them. They're very useful. But again, they were just written to like help that person's platform, like in mm-hmm. in their study, in their realm. So they're not a multi-person figuring this out. Like, we don't know really how much they're practiced, like unless someone else has read the book kind of thing.
And it can be a lead magnet to their thought leadership. You know, it's like if you find this quiz really helpful, you might become a better follower of Gretchen yeah. Rubin, or you might become mm-hmm. a more bought in person who's reading Malcolm Gladwell. I don't know. Maybe that's tipping on the cultish side of quizzes, but
that is a whole other thing. That's a whole other topic we could get into. But I was even going to say, like, I hope to be an author someday. And if yep. I work in this realm, it would make sense that maybe one day I will have a typology that I have figured out. But like,
definitely.
But I also feel like they're all kind of, like I said, if you're this, you might be this, you might be this. They're all kind of related. And at some point, we're just putting new names on the same thing, like the same trait. So I don't know that I will ever do that. And, you know, this will come up if I do. they'll find this in the archives. But again, so we're getting like down the level in more helpful, but also still maybe take it with a grain of salt. Maybe next I would put the Enneagram and Human Design. These mm-hmm. are kind of more woo. So you have to have, you know, it depends on your level of woo. The Enneagram is also, I think, comes from a religious background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not sure about Human Design, but they are looking at your like innate sensibilities. And so those are the ones where sometimes people will like get more turned off because maybe I should have put them even ahead of the book ones. But also you can see a lot of stuff. And again, I don't know if I've said this out loud, but any of these that you're looking at, take what you relate to and use the tools that go with that as they help you. So if right. you know, if you think you're an obliger and you use the obliger tools and it works, great. But if you think you're an obliger, but also sometimes you want that Cold Stone ice cream and it was actually like a rebel tool that helped you, cool. But yeah. it's just about the idea that different things help different people at different times and trying to match the one that's going to help you the best.
And sometimes, for example, so me as an obliger, I feel a bit of friction against that because I don't resonate with the word obliger. It feels mm-hmm. sort of like a doormat to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love the Enneagram 3 definition, and it's like a totally different – it's called the achiever, which, you know, like makes me feel way better about myself,
yeah.
you know. mm-hmm. And versus somebody who is – a rebel, they might really like that identification, or the Enneagram 4, which I actually don't know off the top of my head what the the naming typology for the Enneagram 4 is, but you know, I think also like sort of follow your initial reaction to how these things resonate with you. I will also say, I think that the human design evaluation, the Enneagram, is many questions. It could be like somewhere between 40 and 100 questions.
It can be, but also you can just like watch an Instagram that talks about it and you'll see which one you relate to the most.
I think you can. I think you can too. Versus I think the four tendencies is not, it's not that many questions. It's maybe 12 to 15 questions, I think.
She has a quick questionnaire for that. But again, I diagnose, in quotes, the four tendencies like in one question, because it's really, it comes down to, is it easier to meet expectations when? And then there's the two choices, like certain combination of if someone else set the goal or if you did. And so that just, bam, tells us what you are.
Yeah. You've also mentioned a lot of times that a lot of them overlap. Why do you think that is?
Well, again, kind of like we're just renaming it. there's this is how people are. You might be motivated by this, or, you know, these are like the main ways it could go. It could go that you are, I don't know, introvert versus extrovert, and you'll start seeing them. Yeah, I don't know. I think just as people study it more, they go a certain different way or a deeper level or whatever, and describe it differently, which I also love, because like I said, I use these different typologies for different things. So maybe your DISC relates to something on your Clifton Strengths, but we're using them, like the DISC, like I said, specifically for your communication style, and the Clifton Strengths more for like the type of work you do.
Right.
And then there may be like a special combination of the two together that tells us one more thing about your work overall.
Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I think it helps for people to remember those things, is like the intention of the assessment is to help you solve a pain point. And not all quizzes are designed for the same pain point.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not necessarily going to give you the information that you need in the context of the thing that maybe you're trying to understand or gain self-awareness about yourself.
Yeah.
So if the person who's thinking, maybe it depends on the quiz, to the question that we've been asking throughout the episode, is still probably on the fence, we're really going to encourage you to think about the personality quiz, considering its potential value while also exercising discernment. And before we move on to the final answer, which is the yes, the person who's all in, yes for self-awareness, yes for self-assessment, give me every single quiz.
Mm-hmm.
I want the badge. I want the full panel done. I want the full report card. Mm-hmm. Tracy, you've said you're a maybe person, and tell us a little bit more about why that is.
I think just because it's not every quiz. Like, I could care less about the BuzzFeeds or whatever random quiz out there someone made, if it's not for, like you said, the pain point that I am trying to learn more about. So I just, because I have that, I'm keeping that level of discernment that we are encouraging for everyone, then I don't want to say yes, everything. But I sure do say yes to the ones that I think are really useful, which again, like, Clifton Strengths for the work you do, Malcolm Gladwell for how you market, DISC for communication, Four Tendencies for motivation. I use human design, like, and I love having all of that together. So if you're ever my client, I will ask you all of those things and try and get as much out of it as possible, because it's also like the combination. You can have any different number of Clifton Strengths, top five, but it also matters, like, how does that go with your Gretchen Rubin's Four Tendencies? Or, you know, you could be an obliger and a D on the DISC profile, or you could be an I, or you could be a C. And so it will have, I'll still have different advice for you depending on that combination.
All right. So let's move on. Again, I keep repeating this question so we stay kind of grounded in it. Mm-hmm. Can a personality quiz really make your life easier? So we have talked about the benefits of the insight and information that a person can glean from a personality quiz or a personality typology. We haven't really talked about the ease portion of it. Maybe we've hinted at it in some of the case studies and some of the examples.
Okay.
But if we're thinking about ease and making our life easier, there's a person who says yes all self-awareness is good self-awareness. If I know I'm a Hufflepuff, that's great. If I know that I'm an Enneagram, Enneagram 7, that's equally helpful to me. I want all of the information all the time. How do we speak to that person, highlighting the inherent value of self-awareness and personal and professional growth, emphasizing, you know, there's a huge role for this in fostering empathy, fostering your resilience to those pain points, fostering your authentic connection to your own innate beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us more about that. I'm sure you're going to have a lot to say about this.
Hope so.
This is where people see results and magic when they work with you.
Yeah, for sure. And I wanted to point out first, I love that you brought up the empathy thing, because when you start recognizing your specialness, it becomes clearer that everyone else is special too. And like, you know, we talk about that in kindergarten, but we need to remember it as adults. And I think that that is a huge part of everything that's wrong with the world right now, is just kind of forgetting that like everyone is special. Everyone has their own unique combination and should be allowed to express that too. Mm-hmm. So just like, you know, as parents, we want our children to be their special selves. Like I want Poppy to be the artist, singer, dinosaur loving weirdo that she is. You know, seeing that you're an I or whatever can help you, and seeing that they relate or complement the other bits of the DISC profile helps you appreciate your team members C. Because I know, you know, as an I, we're more future thinking, like visionary, wanted just, I got this idea, that idea, da 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 da, but I don't want to do it.
Yep.
But thank God I have this C here to figure out the details, to make sure my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed. Like you can start appreciating that of others.
And that's what makes life easier in a lot of ways. Like that's where the ease comes in, is that you're not stuck with the question like, why are they doing that? Why are they, or why am I this way? You know, why am I so disappointed in myself? Or why is this so hard for me? Or, you know, whatever it may be, why did that go that way? You can spend less time in the friction. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And more time saying, oh, I wonder if these are the things that are playing into this situation. And I wonder if it's kind of like having like the passcodes, the cheat sheet in a lot of ways. But go ahead. What were you thinking?
Oh, it just reminded me of like my Enneagram 7 clients. This person in particular, she's an artist and she's an Enneagram 7. And Enneagram 7, my understanding of the Enneagram is that means you're like the shiny object, squirrel, I want everything happening all at once kind of person. And that can feel overwhelming. And especially when we're trying to like do less but better in this realm of business that I teach. It's like, but I'm a 7, like I have all this stuff. But when we recognize that and lean into it, gave her the permission to be doing a bunch of art projects all at once, because that is what makes the art come out of her.
Yeah.
And so you stop trying to stifle your innate sensibility and you actually use it for good. So we actually built in like she needs dicking around doing nothing time in every assignment that she creates. And like, how great is that? Mm-hmm. You get to enjoy yourself. And it makes it come out easier too, for sure.
The two people in my life where I'm very specific to the Enneagram, it's probably where I've spent the most time and the tool that's been the most useful to me personally. But I had a boss once who was an Enneagram 8. And the Enneagram 8 is called the Challenger. Mm-hmm. And this is a powerful, dominating type, very self-confident, decisive, willful, and sometimes confrontational. Mm-hmm. And what helped me most understand my boss as the Challenger was the fact that she was one of the most accountable people I had ever met. And she would push herself to be accountable in all ways, into the point where she also wanted other people to show up with accountability. And if you weren't showing up with accountability, it was a huge pain point for her. And that what I could do as her, one of her direct reports, was to show up authentically as accountable as possible, even when things were going wrong. I would say, listen, this is something I'm accountable and responsible for. It's not going well. Here's where I think I'm stuck. And I could go so much farther with my boss having led with accountability.
I love that. Yeah, because she would just be freaking out about it. And now it's not, the problem is not the problem.
That's right.
It's the how are you owning up to it? That is what she was really caring about. I love that. Good job.
The other person in my life is my husband. My husband, Nick, is an Enneagram 9, which is the peacekeeper. Mm-hmm. And really helps to understand when you're in conflict with someone who hates conflict above all things, mm-hmm. how to navigate that in a way where, you know, if we had an argument and things really went off the rails, in a lot of ways, it was because we could not kind of keep the peace, you know, and the more I challenged him to...
That became the more problem to him was the challenge, not whatever the thing was.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Is the fact that we're fighting is more of a problem yes. to him than whatever was really, really going on. So yep. just really interesting, like, ways of mm-hmm. seeing people and kind of leading with empathy and curiosity about, you know, where is this going and why is it happening the way it's happening? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm speaking very specifically to the Enneagram because I don't really have like a lot of exposure to some of these other ones, but
I love that because that's actually like the probably the more useful of the typologies for that kind of thing. Like I use Enneagram mm. for what hangs us up because that is like a four, their feeling of specialness can hang them up. They think they're too weird to share their shit. And so we look at that, or the seven wanting all the things and embrace that. So I think that was a perfect typology to reference for that.
Can you talk about how with your clients, when you go through these quizzes or this typology, what kind of catalyst this becomes for their own self-reflection and self-discovery?
Oh my gosh. I mean, so like I said, this is the work that we do. If you come to my free junk drawer session that I hold twice a year, I ask all those questions. I try and figure out all those different typologies of you. And I study that ahead of time so that when we have our 10-minute hot seat together, like I fucking know you, excuse my language, and we can talk to all of this stuff. And then in my coaching, we're using that the whole time to build your offer, to figure out your marketing and sales strategy, to figure out like the when, where, how you work each day. So all of that is what's leading to these epiphanies and to people using like, this is how I am. This is what I'm going to do. So I can actually give an example from someone from a past cohort. They were building her, she was building her business from scratch. And that's pretty scary. Like that's a big moment in your life and it can go all kinds of ways and it can be really overwhelming. And she said like, I've never felt overwhelmed because I know I'm building like the foundations correctly. She like, so again, like the offers, the marketing, how she works, she chose to build a group community versus doing one-on-one work or doing work for others because she knows that like as a rebel, as a four, as an artist, like she needs that accountability. She is like, she found her own marketing strategy. She is not feeling pressured to do like the dancing reels or whatever the like trendy marketing tactics of the day are. She just focuses on like her unique combination of art and words that she can put out there because that is what gets people's attention. Mm. And then she also like as I think she is a connector. She's like a connector of ideas, but instead of trying to become a salesperson or, you know, really try and market herself to a level that was going to be overwhelming to her, she's relying on the symbiotic relationships with connectors, with other people yes. who will go shout her out. And like so she's like leveraging her strengths that you might feel are weaknesses if you haven't seen them mirrored to you or understand how they can be strengths to make things so much easier. And then again, like she set up body doubling with a friend that she made in the cohort because she needs those challenges to get shit done as a rebel. Yeah. So yeah. like all of that, all of those diagnoses and all of that talk that we do about all the different personality typologies, like you take that with you and it helps you make decisions about everything, about how you deal with your boss, about how you deal with your husband, your children, your work, all of it.
I thought of something while you were talking. You inspired me to think, if you're the person who says, yes, a personality typology or personality quiz really can make your life easier, it's only going to make your life easier if you put it to work. Mm-hmm. You cannot say, oh, I'm an Enneagram 3 and then move on and not put that to use in your life. And in a lot of ways,
you can, but yeah, it's not going to help.
It's not going to make your life easier. It's just going to be fun. Fun cocktail party, you know, fun yeah. fact.
Well, or in fact, it could hurt, I guess, if you don't do that. Because if you just stay at the level of like, oh, I'm a three and they're, you know, someone said they're bossy.
Take it or leave
it. Too ambitious or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. But then you might feel, so you have to like totally do the work and.
Oh, I see. You could feel like this is a bad side of myself that I have to hide from people. Mm-hmm. No one can ever find out I'm an Enneagram three.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a whole other thing.
Let me divulge. I, on the Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENTJ, which if you look it up is like, you might recognize them from all the villains in every movie ever. I'm like, thanks. But I know there are strengths in there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
and my eye makes up for it.
It's amazing. But I was also going to say, this is a funny thing you might laugh about. So in my workplace, we have sort of a corporate available personality quiz. It's called the Strengths Database and Inventory or something. It's SDI, mm-hmm. I think.
Okay. Is that the one it calls you a color, like a green or a gold?
A green or a red or a blue. It's only three colors. Oh, and you could also be a hub. You could be somebody who's all a balance of all three. It's a balance of your approach to care about people, process, and performance. Okay. So it's how much you care about those three items.
Yeah, that's cool. I can totally see relation to DISC from that, just off of what you said. Yeah.
Oh, probably. So the funny thing about this is there is an Outlook extension that you can add to your Outlook at work. For other people who have had their SDI evaluated, as you craft an email or read an email from them, it will like ghost whisper in your ear about the person that you're writing to.
I love that.
Or about the person whose email you're reading. And it's really funny. It's a little bit distracting.
Yeah.
It's also really funny because in some ways, my colleague was saying it was like reading your email, Erin, reading your email while having like a nature documentary narrator in my ear. Like,
it's literally talking.
It's another window right beside the email.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's like, as you read this email from Erin, please remember that Erin is very driven to lead others in the pursuit of their own development and excellence. Erin
awesome.
Probably wrote this email motivated to encourage performance across her team. And Erin wants to remove barriers. Like, but it was this like, it was sort of like, don't approach with too many sudden movements because we were laughing about that.
So I love that for the most part. Because, and I think I DM'd you this maybe, that I think it's good for companies to use this to learn about, like, to help the teams work together better, right? I think I mentioned I learned about DISC at my 9-to-5 as a manager, and I loved using it with my teams because, just like you said, we didn't have the little footnotes, but if you got a very terse email from so-and-so, you could understand it's not about you. Mm-hmm. They are just saying exactly what they need to say. They think they need to say, and that's it. Or likewise, when you know someone else needs details, you will include those in your emails to them.
Right.
So I like that. And also I encourage my clients when they're hiring, like I just had walked someone through hiring for something she needed. And I was like, you need an I, because she's a C. And like, for whatever reason, the other parts of the job, like, this needs to be an I, so we need to be like hiring for that. However, I'm also seeing companies are like requiring these kind of personality assessments on applications, which I also think is kind of invasive. Like,
yeah,
because this really does tell a lot about a person. And sometimes, like, I don't know, it should kind of be up to you.
I mean, that goes back to what we talked about earlier about the overlap between cult thinking and some of these personality tests, whereby if the personality test becomes like a requirement, or you can't opt out of it, or it's something that is sort of dogmatic within the verbiage of the culture of your company, and if you were to not buy into that quiz, that you would actually suffer penalty, or you could potentially be an outsider within, or you could even like not get a job offer, then this is where like the dogma of the personality typology can become really problematic when people are so bought into it that they can't accept running their business with people who aren't also bought into it. It's like we all have to be consuming from the same thought leadership in order to, and that can actually really like hurt your company and hurt your group, you know, because the benefits of these things, to the whole point of what you said before, is to recognize that we're all bringing something unique to the table in our homes, in our relationships, in our schools, in our communities. We have to celebrate that. One of the ways of celebrating it is by understanding it. We're not going to paint ourselves with the same brush. We're going to allow for all of us to have really wonderful, multifaceted ways of showing up in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tracy, so if we were going to wrap up and offer people some practical tips and strategies for leveraging self-awareness that they can gain from a personality quiz or typology, maybe they want to enhance their decision-making, maybe they want to understand their communication styles, maybe they want to understand their motivation, could give us a rundown of some of the ones that we've talked about today, and we'll put some, we'll try to link in the show notes as best as we can to the overview of those typologies so that people can dig deeper. And then tell us a little bit more about how people can work with you. But first, let's just kind of, let's kind of wrap up with a bit of a summary of where people might start.
Very cool. And actually, I think I have videos on my Instagram about each of these. So I will send that to you. Okay. So first, obviously, I love the DISC. And again, that's for communication. You're going to see like how to communicate with everybody. your four tendencies from Gretchen Rubin is for your motivation, for your child's motivation, for your partner's motivation. I love, love, love the Clifton Strengths top five for figuring out the type of work you do and also like how you work in your day. It tells us if you need like short focused work or long bursts of focus, like all kinds about how you work. And then, like I said, the Enneagram for your strengths, but also I really love this for what gets in your way. Like we said, the fours feeling too weird, or the sevens getting shiny object syndrome.
Amazing. Okay, so we'll try to link to all of those in the show notes, and you can decide where you want to start. Tracy, thank you so much for chatting today. If people want to learn more about you or dive in and get started working with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, come see me on Instagram. That is my personality typology approved social media site. That's where I like to be. I'm in stories Monday through Friday. So I really love when people watch the stories, learn, interact, tell me what you're cooking, etc. So see me in the DMs from there. And then at my website, there's a whole library at tracystanger.com/learn-lbb, whole library of like every podcast I've been on, other interviews, articles, just all about doing business your way. And then I do have a course and a coaching program that walks you through all of this, figuring out your way to do your offers, your marketing, and how you work each day.
Fantastic. All right. Tracy, it's so nice to chat with you.
You too.
Thank you for making an exception to your business boundaries by chatting with me on a weekend.
It's the only time I do it.
It means the world to me. It means the world to me. To everyone listening, remember, you know, we've been chatting today about personality quizzes making your life easier. And you might still be a no, a maybe, or a yes, but thanks for spending time with Tracy and I today on this question and on thinking about it and chatting through it. We know that your time is one of your most precious resources. Mm-hmm. It's never lost on me how grateful I am that you choose to spend some of your time with this podcast. In the meantime, I hope that you will connect, share this episode with someone that you think will like it, someone who's also a personality type skeptic. And as always, I love to hear from people in Instagram DMs. Let me know if you like this episode or what you want to hear more of. We're going to sign off from here. Thank you so much again, Tracy, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
And Tracy, I want you to know you're doing such a good job. Like such a good job.
Ditto, friend.
Yeah. All right, everybody. You're also doing such a good job. Please don't forget, I love you very, very much. And I will talk to you again soon. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to Medium Lady Talks, created and produced by me, Erin Vandeven. If you want more of the general vibe, gratitude, and encouragement from this episode, please come and find me on Instagram at medium.lady. And since you've made it to the end, I'd love to get to know you even better. Screenshot this episode so you can share it on Instagram and be sure to tag me so that we can chat. Thanks for listening. Remember, you're doing such a good job. Your place in this world can only be filled by you. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.